need to do a reading as well. And so I'm going to start off in two ways. One is, I'm a great moviegoer. In fact, I have a blog on my movie reviews that luckily people go to and read. But I went to see the movie After Earth with Will Smith. Did anybody here see that at all? No. It didn't get great reviews at all, even though young Jaden Smith did great in the movie. It was just kind of overdone. But sometimes we go to hear a speaker or we go to see a movie, and there's one thing that stands out, and you know that's what you were there for. And this happened, and so in this movie, I'm sitting watching this movie, and all of a sudden it was like I came to full attention and went, oh, I wish I had said that. And this is what Will Smith says to his son as he's about to embark on this fearsome journey. Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is the product of our imagination causing us to fear things that are not in the present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity time. Do not misunderstand me. The danger is very real, but fear is a choice. I finally found that on YouTube and was able to copy it down and make copies of it to give out, because so many of us so often live in fear. But also I wanted to just share with you something from a book I wrote way back. And it's right near the very end of the book. And I think it sort of works in a lot with this, of how we absolutely work within our lives. And the topic is two important responses for happiness, which is this book is about, acceptance and flexibility. An important secret, I believe, is acceptance. I found that if I accept things as they are, as they are, not as I want them to be, I am then free to decide what I want to do about it and take the appropriate action. Until I accept, I am stuck. And then go further on to page 80. Flexibility is another attitude you will need to learn, the need to let go of preconceived ideas. So often you will restrict yourself from achieving what you want because you will not have the flexibility to move back a step or to sidestep in order to get to your goals. In your mind, it will have to be done this way or only this way. And when I hear people say something similar to this, I always ask them, says who? And very often it's like, what is it that we actually say? What is it we actually think? What is it we actually do? I'm going to go back to my sheet here, because on this YouTube that I looked at, came up on the screen because there were Will's words from the movie. But on the screen it said, when there is no enemy within, the enemies outside cannot hurt you. And it's an African proverb. So let's talk about that for a minute. I'm going to leave that and go to this here. I think now in my life, because I'm getting at that stage now where I'm having to recalibrate how I live my life, because even though we say we create by our belief system, our bodies sometimes have different ideas. And we often don't really get taught in our spiritual world that the body has its own mind. And we need to be in alignment with that mind. We need to be flexible and understand. And I was a person who loved my work and loved what I was doing until finally last year, I haven't been here for quite a while, I was laid really low for a lot of months. I came back from a trip to New Zealand and I couldn't raise my arms over my head. I ate 24/7 all over my body, and I was physically a mess. And I had to take a look at how come that was going on. And a lot of it was because I knew I was tired, and I kept saying, oh, I'll rest after this. Oh, I will rest after that. Oh, I'll just do this and then I'll rest. And I went to New Zealand to rest, and I didn't get one day. And I was there, 6 weeks. I didn't get one day really to rest. So it was like my body said, enough. And so now I had to recalibrate. I had to become flexible. I had to let go of my fear that I wouldn't be able to support myself. I had to let go of my fear that somehow or other I wasn't ever going to be able to teach again. And all those things that come up when you're lying down and you can hide. I couldn't sit either because I was in pain when I sat. So, and I sit to do my work, and then I walk to teach. And I did very, very little for 9 months. If I had a client, I would be able to do 1 half-hour reading because I could sit that long. Slowly, I began to increase and do and just listen to me. Am I tired? Where am I feeling? What am I doing? And all the things that I had learned through all my years of study, I had to implement in sometimes a different way. I had to just let go and recognize there is only now, which is one of the big proponents I teach anyway. Where am I right now? What is my plan? What can I do? What can I? And I learned often to say the word no. Now I teach people how to say no. People come to me for consultations, and you know, especially people who have 5 birth paths. If anybody has a 5 birth path here, and I'll say to me, a 5 birth path is really learning how to say no because you want to do everything and you just can't. Especially when I look at their ages. I mean, if you're a teenager or 20, I don't talk about it too much. But when you get in your 40s and your life's full, that 5 energy has you adding more and more and more. I know, my name begins with a 5. I understand that energy. And so it's like learning how to say no. And so I teach people how to do that. And so I had to learn on a whole new different level. As soon as I was able to, I started to open up my Wednesday night meditation group again. And then I began in January to start doing 3-hour evening workshops once a month. And I didn't do any intensives last year, and this year I'm planning again on doing more, changing more into teaching people to do similar work that I do, rather than just doing it for their own growth. So shifts and changes. But one of the most significant things that came out of this was my interest and my intrigue about people's souls. For a lot of years now, I've been doing what we call transformational clearing work, which is commonly called clearings. People come for readings and often will move into clearings, and I do a lot of clearing work. And luckily, where I live, I work by phone, by Skype, and sometimes in person. And during the clearings, what I do, whatever it is that you are wanting to create in your life and you're not creating it, or you know you've got an issue like procrastination or anger. I had one lady come with a lot of anger. And a lot of anger. In fact, I did a soul drawing for her and I went, this sort of says that there's a lot of anger. And she said, oh yeah, that's why I'm here. It took 2 hours of work. I only work 1 hour at a time, but 2 hours to clear what my sheet said, where this anger was held. This for an instance. So it was just like freedom. Like she said, oh my gosh, I just feel so different. And so it's like being able to clear that. But very often, what would happen, it would show the block would be on the soul. And so, like when I get to that part of where I work through, I come to the soul, I would check on the soul. And very often, I would go back to when the soul first comes to Earth. And often began to go, where did they come from? Because I could see that what they came in with was very often something that they had brought with them. So just to dispel some of the myth that's out there, sometimes I have found, this is some of the things I found, a lot of people are sent here as penalty. Like the British used to send people to Australia and to the US because they were so-called bad people. I found out actually I have a great, I have to think how many greats, great-grandfather, I think it was, who was sent to Australia for stealing wool. The family never said that, but there's people today go and find their ancestry, right? And so we found his children were coal, so he stole some wool and he got sent to Australia. And then went on to New Zealand, which is where my heritage line comes from Britain. So you find out there, but that's actually an outpicturing of what has happened to a number of people. When I first ran into it, I thought, oh, this is just different. And then I began to find, it is not so different. There's a lot of people here. So what do you think they come in with? Anger, frustration, mad. Because it's not their choice. They didn't choose to come to this place. So why would they be sent here? Like, what is the reason people get sent here? It's because it's an emotional planet. When you get out to start looking at other spaces like I do in places, and I'll talk a bit more about that in a minute, what you'll realize is that we are very unique. Because we are here learning about our feelings. Fear. False evidence appearing real, I was taught many years ago. It took me many, many, many years to realize the fear is propelled by our minds. And in our society, we give all these credence to our mental self, where in fact, we're really here to learn about our emotional self, because that's how our body talks to us, is through feelings. Our body tells us what it wants us to know by how it feels. And then we get this whole thing saying, well, these are bad feelings, and these are good feelings. Excuse me? From my perception, what judgment do we have here? My feelings are mine. Who is to say they're bad? They may not feel good. Thank you. They may not feel good. Believe me, I have not always been clapped by my ideas, I'll tell you. They may not feel good at all. But they're yours and they're telling you something. And if you're resisting them and rejecting them and not wanting to deal with them, guess what? You're going to end up with a pile of problems. And even those of us that are on the path, working to be as clear as we possibly can, all of a sudden we'll hit stuff. Like me, not listening, right? Not listening, body goes down. So this soul that we need and require, because I'm a past life regressionist, I'm a past life person, there's no doubt about that, is that we begin to see the patterning of how we go from lifetime to lifetime, remaking the same decisions. One of the things that I teach a lot about is how, from the moment, I use conception, so I don't want to get an argument, I just use it as a means to say, from the moment we're conceived to now, anytime we experience a feeling, we reach in our memory banks, and we remake the same decision as we previously made when we felt that feeling. So all our major programs are in place by 18 months old. We don't even speak yet. Because we've locked in these past lives. I just was doing a clearing for a gal the other day, and she was little. She was about just over a year old. I said, do you know how old you were when you began to walk? And she said, no, I'm not sure. I said, well, I see you're just around about one. And you know how when kids learn to walk, they fall down on their backsides? You know, they go plump, right? And this way, and the ring of adults was laughing. And I said, to me, they were laughing because it was funny to them. To her, they were laughing because they were putting her down at 18, and at a year old. That decision of people laughing at me is taking a performer who was a great singer. She sings wonderfully. Petrified of speaking. And people laugh. Was what we've been working on, breaking and clearing. One little incident. We have no idea what these decisions are made. So anyway, I'm a little off topic as usual, but that's all right. Because what I began to do is I was thinking in this year, I felt like I was wanting to do something a little different. So to my email group, and those of you, I have an email list down there if you'd like to be on my list. I have them for cities, but I have them for Toronto too, because I do go there sometimes. And I said, I want to see if I'm going back to the lives before this life on the soul, I should be able to go back right through to see where this comes from. Where does this begin? So I offered a special, right, in January. Everyone got one. Have a special to go take a look. I call them soul origin. Go see where your soul comes from. It wasn't until I did my third person that I got it back where at the beginning. At the beginning. And now I know where I've got to go, so I know how to get them there. Going back, tracking back. So I'll talk about the beginning, and then I'll talk about some of the things I found that I still remember. I don't remember all the things I do. The first time I came into this as I was going back, and I have to say this, that third person was a person that has done a lot of work with me, so she's what you would call very clear in the sense of her programming. And so she just thought this would be, she was curious to see what this was. And there's usually little pieces we still work on it from time to time. But primarily we've done a lot of clearing, so she's pretty clear. So I went back, and the only way I can explain it was, there was this big, think of the moon for a moment, big round, kind of opalescent. I couldn't see the whole round of it, I could just sort of see a little part of it. And out of this mass, we'll say, came a drop. It was like giving birth to the soul. And I've seen this repeatedly now, so I know that it wasn't my imagination at the moment. And in that moment, this pure essence of being was there. Now, being an earth being, I was expecting love. I was expecting, I don't know what I was expecting, because I had no expectation, which is what you do when you have to do the work that we do. But I was like in awe of the absolute purity of this drop of being. And because this was the end, then I was able to bring that essence back on through all the different, particularly marked times that we've marked. But the one thing that stood out, absolutely, no judgment. Absolutely no judgment. Now, I've spoken about this often, is that one time I was talking to my guide, Rama, I said, Rama, how do I get off this wheel of life? And he said to me, first thing is, you just let go of the whole idea that you're here to learn. Which at that time was really big. Everyone went, you hate to learn. What are you learning? Oh, that's not working well. What are you learning from that? And I was getting a bit tired of learning stuff, I'll tell you. It was kind of like, oh, when is this ever going to end? And now my guide's saying to me, one of my teachers saying, forget all that. So me being me says, how come then? What are we here for? And he said, well, you're here to understand, but as long as you believe that you're here to learn, you must create learning experiences. Just think of that. As long as you believe that you're here to learn, you must create learning experiences. It's a failure belief system. So I said, well, what am I here for then? He said, to understand. You're going to have stuff come up, but as soon as you understand that, it's like you stand on it, you know, it's gone. Two things happened to me at that time. One was a huge weight of responsibility left my shoulders. Because when you're trying to figure out all the things you're supposed to learn, it weighs you down. The second thing that happened was I had longer and longer and longer stretches of just being peaceful and calm and having life work so I can be creative. I can do the creative things I want to do. And so here I was. Years later, looking at this piece of pure energy that had no... Oh yeah, sorry, I missed the piece out. Back up, Norman. And I said to him, well, okay, but what else? Remember, I'm trying to get off the wheel of life. He said, judgment. Let your judgments go. Believe me, we have thousands. I still work all the time on that. Now, my prosperity teacher, Edwin Gaines, some of you will know her, said... as long as you're in a physical body, you'll need to forgive yourself every day. I thought she was nuts. I honestly thought she was crazy. I thought, every day, I had just gone through this experience of being connected to the source. I knew I was forgiven. I mean, I was forgive myself every day. Well, she was right. Because when we move into judgment of anything, we're restricting ourselves. So the only way we can do that is to forgive ourselves for it. And when we're connected to source and we know that we're loved, we know that it's us that blocks. So we just let it go, forgive ourselves. So every day I think about things that I'm going to forgive myself. Maybe not every day, but pretty close. And it's not a trial. It's kind of like, because what I tend to do, if I'm like, and I always think I'm like everyone else, I beat myself up. What did I say that for? What did I act like that for? If I'm a little tired, oh boy, my mouth runs off at the, oh, not good. So, you know, very often I'll say things, and also too, if what happens when I'm tired is I walk into people's programs and I act them out for them. Makes me a great therapist. Terrible in life. Terrible. So I work, you know, like I don't drink anymore in a lot of years now. I don't do this and I don't do that because I really don't make sure I'm not too tired, because you don't want me saying something that you don't want anyone to know about. Because that happens. It's like the, you know, it's like I'm just out there and all of a sudden I'm thinking, what am I saying that for? And the person's energy's going wonky in front of me. Oh, jeepers. Something she didn't want anybody to know. So we, forgiveness, part of it. Well, let's go back to that little thing. Now, what have I found from these soul origin journeys? Some interesting things. I'm just going to grab a water now. Several of my friends decided they wanted to do this out of curiosity, I think, more than anything. And they, some of them I found some of the most interesting things. So I'm just going to randomly talk about a few things. One of my very, very good friends, I was going backwards, but I'm not going to go backwards, I'm going to go forwards. Because my experience is going back, but really the story is forward. She had been a space traveler. I've learned a lot about how people travel in space. I am not ever being an ET follower, person. In fact, I'm a little angry because I keep running into their stuff they put in people's energy fields. And so if anything, I'm a little bit cranky at them. But I have learned a lot about some really neat things that go on around space, because that's where I've been out with these souls running around. Anyway, this one friend of mine, travel, joy, like absolute joy. I saw Bruce of Galaxies travel. She traveled in a big spaceship with lots of people on it. And then she decided she wanted to experience something different, right? So she ends up in a planet that I still to this day think of, I have to watch, because I really think, what is that planet even doing in existence? And it's sort of like humanoids with matted kind of hair, but they fought with sticks and stones. It was not a very evolved place, very basic, yucky, the way I describe it. But what happened to her was that she came from this joy of freedom and flying around doing everything, and into this horrible place. She couldn't handle it, basically. But what amazed me was this being came and took her and put her into this most beautiful healing energy. Now, I'm coming backwards, and I said, oh, it feels like you've been chemically burned. That's how it felt to me. I could feel it. I said, but the place that she went, and it was the lightest of green, the lightest of green, and she was left there to heal. So there again, we have a supreme being coming in. Who? I have no idea. Coming in, taking the soul, bring that in. And then she came into Earth, and it was, because how I found it is, I see all this hesitation. My friend isn't hesitant. She travels the world. In fact, she was just with me. She's traveling now back to Toronto, and then she's off to Australia and Cambodia. And I might see her again next spring, maybe. In Mexico, I think we're talking about. So you see, life is very, just to her, but some of that stuff made sense. Her love of travel in new places, her absolute joy when she is moving. And she likes crowds. She lives in downtown Toronto and loves it. Loves the noise. I live in a quiet little place in Penticton, you know. So, okay, that's one. Another one of my friends, very much spiritually lives for it, talks about it all the time, her growth, what she's learned, what she's not learned, etc. Brings me all sorts of amazing information sometimes. I go, oh yeah, right, okay. going back, and I'm looking at this egg. Well, you know how big an ostrich egg is? Well, double it, triple it size. This big egg like this, and I'm looking. I'm just looking at it, what the heck is this egg? What's this egg doing here? I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I've lost it. I've lost the plot. The next thing I know, I thought, calm down, take a look at what's going on here. This egg comes out to be a very large bird. The face was not pointed like we think of a bird, but more square. And my friend said, well, it could be something like a moa bird, which is extinct in New Zealand. And I said, that's probably like an emu or an ostrich type. And they were hunted by large cats. like we would think of tigers or lions. Wherever this planet is, I have no idea, but she spent a few lifetimes doing this and decided, I don't like this, I'm out of here. And so how much of experiences we have, I've seen dimensions, I've seen fairyland, I've seen a beautiful dimensions that are not planets at all, but just where people have hung out to learn, to experience, and then the soul has decided, okay, I'm going to do something. The only time I've ever found where someone has really taken that soul and said, I haven't done many, many, many of these, but enough, is that mostly is with my friend when she just couldn't handle what was going on. Most of it is like, oh, let's go see what this is, curiosity. But also what it's taught me is to how come many people have gotten stranded here through space travel. Now, a number of years ago, I did a past life regression downstairs here, workshop. And one of the people that was there came out and said, because I talked about how we can have future lives as well as past lives, and he said, this was the first time I'd run into this, so it's a number of years ago, says, I was in a spaceship in 3000 and something, and I crashed, and I couldn't get back, so had to incorporate here, right? I have run into that story of different variations now through these soul journeys several times. I've figured out how people travel through space and time. It's and a friend, another friend years and years ago told me about this, and it was like I was a little innocent, knew nothing. And he was accurate. They seem to have grids that they travel on. And this one says, it reminded me of train tracks when you move, they move it and the train goes along and then changes. It hit something and it came and landed on Earth, and there was no way they could get off. There was no station here for this particular crew of three. So here they were. What do? They have to amalgamate, right? First time I ran into it, I'm just speaking in clock here a bit. First time I ran into it was when the first person that I had done this particular process with. And I said, oh my goodness, this is really interesting. It's like, I think it was five of them had come in a spaceship, it landed, and they wandered the Earth for 2.5 years. Now, when I say wandered, they didn't wander in physical form. I figure they wandered in astral form, so they were very aware, so they could be standing, like they were observing us. They went back to the spaceship to get in, to take off, and the thing wouldn't work. So then they were stranded here. Just nothing would work. And so what this lady said to me afterwards, she said, all my life I have wanted to go home. And I figured it was a spiritual thing about going home. Because people talk about that, going home. She said, I realize now it was about going home, back to the planet that they came from. So it is a lot of like what our ideas, our parameters, our judgments. Very often we get caught in a mainstream of this is how things work. But if we're open and realize really, the whole thing is really about you becoming comfortable with you. You listening to your own beingness. You growing spiritually through that connection of the energy, not only with the earth, but also with that greater spirit that exists in this area. Love definitely exists here. And we need to be working with that energy. And we need to be lowering our walls or our beliefs or our attitudes where we're not in that full acceptance of things, so we can be in that loving environment. But life is a trip, as they say. It's a journey, and everyone has a different journey. And I heard someone judge someone, in fact, and I said, that's a judgment. I don't usually say anything, but it was a close person to me, so I could say this. I said, that's a judgment. They looked at me. I said, you can't judge other people. I wouldn't speak to anyone outside of my family like this, but you can't judge people like that. They are as they are. Understand where they come from. Have compassion. Have understanding. That's what it's all about. That's what we learn about. So hopefully when sharing some of this, you'll realize that we don't have to be fearsome. We can accept and we can be flexible, because we never know when our ideas and what we really truly believe is accurate and correct is just smashed to smithereens. Science today is just coming in with so many things. And all we can know is that we are made up of feelings, which come from our body, telling us what to do, our minds, which like to control everything, and only as good as what we put in them, just like computers. And it's the balance between those two that is so necessary and so important. So just remember that you're loved and you're special and you're precious. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.